Hello, and welcome back to the 5 Minute Philosophy Podcast. For this episode, I'm going to be talking a bit about possible worlds, or the possible worlds theory. So this is the idea that in addition to the actual world, so the one we find ourselves in, there exists an infinite set of possible worlds. So some of which are almost identical to our own, save a few alterations here and there. Others which are radically different, with perhaps only one thing in common with the actual world. Mostly this theory as just kind of a tool for thinking about modality. So that is everything to do with possibility, including impossibility, necessity, etc., etc. However, others adopt a view called modal realism, which states that these possible worlds that we're talking about are just like our actual world. So that means that they're comprised of things which are spatio-temporally related to one another. And in addition to this, they exist in a way that is just as real. So the main proponent of this view is called David Lewis. I'll go into his reasoning for taking this interpretation a bit later on. So we said that the whole possible worlds theory can be interpreted either as a tool for thinking about modality, possibility, or as a genuine ontological claim, so a claim about what actually exists. It specifically helps us to think about modality in the context of truth, so how to distinguish between contingent and necessary truth, non-deductive versus deductive truth, etc., etc. One person to look to this is Leibniz. So just to remind ourselves, contingent truths are those which are true, but which could have been false. And a truth is necessary, on the other hand, when its negation is impossible, so it must be true. So, for example, the classic, all bachelors are unmarried men, is a necessary truth, since the term bachelor is synonymous with, and therefore contains, the description unmarried men. So how can these modal notions be expressed in terms of possible worlds? Well, contingent truths are those which are true in our actual world, but not true in other possible worlds. So they express what happens to be the case in the actual world, but what could have not been the case. So they are true, but they didn't have to be true. So necessary truths, on the other hand, express the only way things could ever have been. So necessary truths are true in every possible world, no matter what. And to just extend this to impossibility, this would be when something is not true in any possible world. Okay, so onto David Lewis and modal realism. We said that this interpretation views these possible worlds as just like our actual world. So the question of where these infinite possibilities exist is, I have to say, a mystery to me. Who even knows? Maybe it's somewhere buried within his books, but I haven't got that far. But Lewis does say that there are no spatial-temporal relations between possible worlds. So, for example, if we lived in possible world 231, possible world 232 isn't like 50 miles left of us or anything like that. So they do exist at the same time, but the way in which they exist spatio-temporally is not clear to me, I will have to say. And this, to me, seems like a quite intense view to take, that these possible worlds actually exist as opposed to just existing as some sort of thought experiment. So we might ask, why is he so committed to holding this complex position, like ontologically speaking? Because it's quite a task to assert that this is the case as something he says actually exists physically. But he's committed to this realism about possible worlds because he believes that without this commitment, this ontological commitment, to speak of possible worlds theoretically is meaningless. So we need to accept that the different ways things could have been actually exists if we are to talk about them meaningfully, as opposed to just referring to something that we, take to be something theoretically possible, but we have nothing really physical to attach that claim onto. So an interesting extension of this view actually is called counterpart theory, which deals with the intersection of possible worlds theory and questions of identity. So this theory brings up lots of questions and things to consider. One of the most interesting, personally, being how we classify our qualities as being either necessary or contingent. So, for example, it could be true that a counterpart of mine in a different possible world has brown eyes. But so though this is an alteration in equality, a quality that I possess or don't possess, because we still consider the possessor of these different coloured eyes a counterpart of ourselves, we can say that eye colour is not a necessary quality for identity, because I still identify myself with somebody in, well, my counterpart in a different possible world, which has this little part missing of my actual identity. So this might be contrasted with, say, a biological origin. So if a counterpart shares all of our qualities, save having the same parents, would we still be as immediate in identifying ourselves with this individual? So through these two contrasting examples, we can illuminate the general issue explored through counterpart theory. So what are the necessary conditions that need to be satisfied for a counterpart to be mine? Do they, for example, need to share every characteristic except one? Do they need to just share these necessary characteristics like biological origin? And our answers to these questions can then inform us on how we view identity itself away from a modal context. So that was a bit about possible worlds. Obviously, there's so much more to say and lots of other interesting discussions that the theory gives rise to, but I hope this has been somewhat informative. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.